2 Peter chapter 2, beginning of verse 10. Kind of in the middle of verse 10 in my Bible. Again, 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning in the middle of verse 10. Bold and arrogant, these men are not afraid to slander celestial beings. Yet, even angels, although they are stronger and more powerful, do not bring slanderous accusations against such beings in the presence of the Lord. But these men blaspheme in matters they do not understand. They are like brute beasts, creatures of instinct, born only to be caught and destroyed. And like beasts, they too will perish. They will be paid back with harm for the harm they have done. Their ideas of pleasure is to carouse in broad daylight. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their pleasures while they feast with you. With eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning. They seduce the unstable. They are experts in greed and a cursed brood. They have left the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness. For he was rebuked for his wrongdoing by a donkey, a beast without speech, who spoke with a man's voice and restrained the prophet's madness. As we continue to talk about false teachers and false prophets, let's go to God and prayer first, shall we? Lord, we look to you this morning. Lord, I pray that my voice not detract from what you want others to hear. Lord, may your spirit speak in each heart. Lord, may this be a time we know that we've been with you. In Christ's name I pray, amen. You know, we're all surrounded by what some call spin doctors. People and organizations want others to think or act in a particular way so that they can they spin the facts, they spin the truth in such a way that they'll get others to support them and think as they do. Since state national elections are coming up later this year, we're already being bombarded with political ads. Often these ads start out with a sliver of truth, but they then twist and tweak it, they spin it, so that the viewer will think and vote as that particular ad desires. Another example, as we well know, the Russian people are hearing totally different facts, often made up facts, about the cause, the victories in the Ukraine war. They're being told that Russia is saving the Ukrainians from the Nazis, and the Russian army is winning in every battle they fight. Homosexual organizations want homosexuality to be accepted, so they twist, they stretch the truth, as they try to get acceptance by all people. If one is going to be a responsible citizen, a responsible voter, if he's going to know the truth, he will search a variety of sources for the real truth of the matter. And that's something the Russians, really, citizens, really can't do. There's another battle going on, but this one is of eternal significance, the battle for the soul of every man and woman and child. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Satan and his followers are master spin doctors. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, "The Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons." Peter predicted that false teachers would continually arise to plague the church of Jesus Christ. Earlier in the chapter, first verse of chapter 2, he wrote, "But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves." And as we saw a couple of weeks ago, Peter compared this destruction of sinners to the destruction of the rebels in the Old Testament. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus warned, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles?" In today's scripture, Peter went on to describe the characteristics, the fruit, if you please, of what one would recognize as being a false teacher. Peter wrote, they are bold and arrogant. That is, in a word, they are insolent. They are insolent. This is a picture of proud people who try to build themselves up while they try to tear down everyone else. They show no respect for authority. And they're not afraid to attack and defame people or beings even in high places. Like their master Lucifer, they are daring or bold as they defy God and exalt themselves no matter the consequences. In their arrogance, their stubbornness and self-will, they're determined to have their own way no matter the cost. They will even defy God to get what they want. Proverbs 21:24 describes them this way. The proud and arrogant person, mocker is his name, behaves with insolent fury. While outwardly, they may appear to serve God and minister to the people. Inwardly, they feed their own eagles. They feather their own nests instead of bringing praise to God. Man's fallen nature encourages pride. Man is filled with pride. And when ego is at stake, these false teachers will, in their insolence, stop at nothing. Nothing in order to promote and protect themselves. In their pride, in their arrogance, they do something that angels don't do. Peter wrote that these men are not afraid to slander celestial beings. That is, even fallen angels or demons or God. Turn to the book of Jude. The book of Jude, book just before the book of Revelation. Verses, beginning of verse 8. It's only one chapter, so I don't have to say chapter 1. Jude, beginning of verse 8. Jude writes about these false teachers this way. In the very same way, these dreamers, false teachers, pollute their own bodies, reject authority, and slander celestial beings. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not dare to bring a slanderous accusation against him, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Yet these men speak abusively against whatever they do not understand. And what things they do understand by instinct, like unreasoning animals, these are the very things that destroy them. False teachers are so self-confident, so brazen, so reckless. They will do what even Michael did not dare to do, to directly slander or revile celestial beings, as if they had authority over them. But David wrote in Psalm 8, verse 5, "You made man a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor." In their insolence, Peter wrote, "These men blaspheme in matters they do not understand. They make a lot of noise about things that they know nothing about. They ridicule divine truths and heavenly authority, including things they don't understand. Actually, I think they refuse to understand. Instead of being people of learning, they are like brute beasts. They are like beasts that have no rational capacity, operate only on selfish indulgence, on instincts, on passion. These brute beasts," Peter wrote, "are destined for destruction." A truth that Peter wrote about verses earlier. "As they seek to destroy the faith, they too will perish," Peter writes. "They'll be paid back with harm for the harm they have done. Their very nature will drag them down into destruction, like a pig returning to the mud or a dog to its vomit. But sadly, before that event takes place, these false teachers can do a great deal of moral and spiritual damage to others. They're insolent, and second, they are sensual. They are sensual." Sensual is not a word that we use all that often, but I think it kind of summarizes Peter's second characteristic of false teachers. The dictionary defines sensual as relating to or consisting in the gratification of the senses or the indulgence of appetite. Using 8 brief descriptions, beginning with their idea of pleasure is to carouse in broad daylight, Peter painted a picture of the false teacher's sensuality. In Peter's day, really as well as in ours, the indulgence of sinful pleasures usually takes place in the darkness. I mean, 1 Thessalonians 5:7 says, "For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk at night." But the false teachers of Peter's day, and ours for that matter, were so consumed with lust and greed and vice that they can't wait until darkness or until nightfall. They become so accustomed to their vices that they see them as being virtues, something to be done openly with pride. They practice sin openly. They practice sin defiantly. Second, Peter compared these spiritual liars to blots and blemishes. Two terms that really speak of filthy spots, defects, scabs, something diseased. Basically, I think he's saying they are diseased. By comparison, Peter encourages his readers as they look forward to the return of Jesus Christ in 2 Peter chapter 3 to make every effort to be found spotless and blameless and at peace with God. They practice sin openly and defiantly. They're diseased. Third, they reveled or caroused in their pleasures while they feast with you. By pretending to be followers of Jesus Christ, the false teachers claimed a place at the love feast, a feast that accompanied the Lord's table in the early church. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, begin verse 20. Verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning verse 20. Paul writes, "When you come together, it is not the Lord's supper you eat. For as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not." In their sinfulness, in their arrogance and boastfulness, they even defiled the celebration of God's love for mankind, coming together and sharing with fellow Christians. They defile God's name. Peter then shifted from the false teacher's public behavior to the private thoughts and actions. As he wrote, "With eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning." These spiritual frauds no longer possessed any moral self-control. Having eyes full of adultery means that these false teachers are so addicted to sex that they look at every woman as a potential partner in their lust. Their lust is overpowering, insatiable. As spiritual and physical predators, false teachers seek to gain a following within the church. As agents of Satan, they seduce the unstable. They prey upon the spiritually weak, convincing them to believe doctrinal lies, enticing them into immoral lifestyles. Peter's words imply that like a fisherman uses a lure or bait, the false teachers trick their victims into believing their deception, to get them to swallow their spun truth, hook, line, and sinker. Paul warned Timothy of this. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3, beginning verse 6. Again, 2 Timothy 3, verse 6. Again, talking to the false teachers. Paul writes, "They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over weak-willed women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning, but never able to acknowledge the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these men oppose the truth. Men of depraved minds, who as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected." Peter next wrote,
they are experts in greed. Greed doesn't only relate to money. It can also denote a desire for more sexual pleasure, more power, more food, or anything else one lusts after. Other translations even put it this way, having a heart that's been trained in greed. To train implies a long, hard, disciplined struggle to become proficient in this activity. In other words, these false teachers are so devoted and so consistent in their greed that they've worked hard at it for a very long time. As masterminds of sin, false teachers plan their attacks. They devote their hearts towards sensual and materialistic ends. With disgust, I think, Peter called them an accursed brood or accursed children. As servants of Satan and slaves to sin, Peter has already written of their destiny, but overwhelmed by the enormity of their sinfulness, their satanic influence on others, he again denounced them as children of hell's curse. They are accursed, Peter writes. And finally, Peter wrote, they've left the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, son of Peor, who loved the wages of wickedness. The false teachers like Balaam before them left the straight way. They left God's way. They choose to rebel against Scripture, reject God's word, and wander away in spite of any eternal consequences. Foolishly, they follow the way of Balaam. Most of you know the story of Balaam. If you want some other time, you can look it up. It's in Numbers chapters 22 to 25. Balaam was a Gentile prophet who tried to curse the Jews for the king of the Moabites. Balaam knew it was wrong to cooperate with the king, but his heart was covetous. He wanted the money. He wanted the honor that King Balak promised him. Balaam knew the truth of God and the will of God, yet in spite of being warned by a talking donkey, he deliberately abandoned the right way and went astray, just like false teachers. In addition to his greed, Balaam was also motivated by sexual immorality. When his attempt to curse the Israelites failed, he tried to ruin them through moral corruption. Using Moabite women, Balaam encouraged the Israelites to practice idolatry, immorality, and intermarriage to get God to destroy his people. Although he knew better, Balaam allowed his fleshly impulses, his sensuality, to guide his choices. God had to discipline the people, and thousands of them died. Because Balaam counseled the king to seduce Israel, God saw to it that Balaam was judged. He was slain by the sword when the Israelites defeated the Midianites in Numbers chapter 31. Characteristics of false teachers. First off, they're insolent. They show no respect for authority. They defy God. They're filled with self-pride. They ridicule things they don't understand. They're sensual. They practice sin openly and defiantly. They're diseased. They defile God's name. They no longer possess any moral self-control. They prey upon the spiritually weak. They trained in greed. They're accursed, and they have left the straight way. The test of right behavior is one that we can apply to teachers in our days as well. Of course, the Bible makes it clear, and we all know, that no Christian teacher is without sin. James 3:2 reminds all of us, we all stumble in many ways. People can teach right things and still do wrong things. But when we're faced with a teaching that we're not quite sure about, and that we're having a hard time judging against the standard of Scripture, a careful look at the lifestyle of those who propose such teachings will often be helpful in determining if this is false teaching or true. All these sins of the false teachers come from pride, selfishness. A true servant of God is humble and seeks to serve others. The true servant of God does not think about praise or pay. He serves God from a loving and obedient heart. He honors God and the authority that God has established in the world. Basically, any true servant of God patterns himself after Jesus Christ, who, as Philippians 2 says, being in a very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. In these last days, there will be an abundance of false teachers pleading for support. They're gifted. They're experienced when it comes to deceiving people and getting their way. It's important that God's people be established in the truth, that they know how to detect when scriptures are being twisted, when people are being exploited. False teachers can't force their opinions on anybody. They can only persuade people to adapt their way of thinking, of looking at things. Every Christian, not just Pastor Steve, not just the diaconate, every Christian needs to know what is inside God's word so each one can detect falsehood, can detect lies from the truth. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Study God's word. Search God's word so that you will know the truth and you won't be seduced or tricked by the fancy words of man. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you help us to know your word, to study your word. Lord, so that when something sounds good, almost too good to be true, we can go to your word, to the Bible, and be able to tell the truth from the false. Lord, help us be wise in our walk for you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.